history will someday judge the media's role in the election of Donald Trump. It may not be pretty. Reporters, pollsters, and pundits miss much of the story behind Trump's victory. There's always a storyline after an upset election. How could so many smart people be so dumb? And academics and reporters have long questioned the lazy reliance on reporting horse race polls, the increasing focus on infotainment, and the coverage of national politics as televised carnival and civic Mardi Gras. But the hand-wringing this time should be deeper, at a time when too many in the media either missed the elements behind Trump's rise or even contributed to it. Perhaps the most candid and obnoxious comment on the television campaign coverage came from Leslie Moonves, executive director of CBS. Speaking of the Trump candidacy, Moonves says, quote, "It may not be good for America, but it's damn good for CBS," he added. Quote, "The money is rolling in, and this is fun." The cable television networks were even worse. During the Republican primaries, it seemed that barely an hour went by without a Trump screed flashing across the screen. No other candidate got nearly so much airtime. Was this because Trump is media savvy? Yes, of course. It also signals that ratings top serious journalistic scrutiny on these 24/7 outlets. This means a serious national election was treated more like the Oscars or the Super Bowl. Trump forged his narrow victory among less educated white working class voters in such Rust Belt states as Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio. There's a grand irony here. If any business should have understood the concerns of left-behind working people, you think it should have been the media, particularly what's left of the mainstream newspapers and television networks. Has any major institution in the country suffered more from economic change than the media? News outlets have been devastated by endless rounds of layoffs, pay cuts, and buyouts. News gathering budgets have been slashed, bureaus shuttered. Even elite institutions such as the New York Times and the Washington Post have been affected. Yet, as writer Thomas Frank points out, big media underestimated the mistrust among average Americans in government and politics. The issues raised by Bernie Sanders were too often ignored or lampooned by reporters. A New York Times story on the Sanders campaign last December stands out. It stated that voters are, quote, "more anxious about terrorism than income inequality," unquote. Reporting was once a high blue-collar craft. New York journalistic icon Jimmy Breslin said that the best training for reporting was to spend 6 months as a bartender and 6 months as a cab driver. Journalists of a certain age can remember when the path to the Washington news elite began at a podunk newspaper or radio station, after school at a state university or modest college. Reporters covered cops, teachers, politicians, and were on first-name acquaintances with the local preacher and town crank. Then journalism became more of an elite vocation. The latter begins at an Ivy League college. Junior year abroad is often given more hiring heft nowadays than years toiling away at local newspapers. The contractions have severely constricted minority hiring. And it's as rare to find a military veteran among young reporters nowadays as a Trump bumper sticker on the Brown campus. Top reporters today are more like other bi-coastal elites who don't much interact with flyover America. So you shouldn't be surprised when the media fails to take a serious look at how the rise of a global elite combined with the borderless movement of money has enriched the few at the expense of the many. And don't hold your breath waiting for that article or in-depth look at what the decline of private sector unionism has meant for workers. The saddest aspect of the media decline and the rise of Trump is that solid, smart, fact-based journalism will be more vital in the next 4 years. Trump's a blank slate. He has no government record or discernible program. He has a penchant for secrecy. We never got his tax returns. And his vast business holdings set up all manner of conflict of interests. Now, more than ever, a free, vigorous press is needed for the health of our democracy. Let's hope the media is up to it.